on, let's praise him, church. Hallelujah.
Let God arise.
Let God arise. And his enemies be scattered. Let God arise. And his enemies be scattered. Let God arise. Let God arise. And his enemies be scattered. Let God arise. you whole.
Jesus.
He can make you smile.
Jesus.
He'll take control. God's got all power. How many know that he's got power for your situation? He's got power for everything that you need. We belong to God.
We belong to God. We belong to God.
here tonight. We got a little time here tonight. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. What a good God. What a mighty God, and how worthy of all the praise. What a good choir. I appreciate our choir tonight. And I appreciate the six of you that appreciate them. And I'm in love with the choir director. Praise the Lord. I like 2006 so far. It's going to be a great year of anointing and revival. Don't you feel there's a swelling up, something building in the Holy Ghost already. Praise God. We're going to read tonight in Psalms 42 and continue in our trek through the Psalms in the Old Testament. Psalms 42, verse 5, verse 11, and Psalms 43, verse 5. These are identical verses. They are a refrain in these two psalms, which in the original and most of the Hebrew text are one psalm. So this is one song here that David is singing, and he refrains three times throughout 42 and 5. And I'm reading from the NIV tonight, if I can, because I like something they do with this. Psalms 42 and 5. Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. I like it because in the wisdom of God, this translation equates Savior and God, and we understand that that's the verity of the Word of God. Verse 11, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And then verse 43 and verse 5, and we could have just read the same verse three times. Look down at where you think your soul resides and say, why are you downcast, O my soul? And why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's give him praise for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. Praise God. Oh, let's give him high praise. I know we've been praising him, but he's worthy of high praise. In everything we do, in every lesson, in every class, in every service, I want to push this thing a little further this year. I want to step out a little further this year. If we're in a rut, let's kick the ends out of it. Praise God. Praise God. If we'll be successful in the Spirit, and when the dust settles, if we will be standing with God, if we'll actualize the promise of God in our lives and embrace and lay claim to those things that God has prepared for us, and I am convinced that he has prepared them from the foundation of the earth, things in the Spirit already laid up in store for God's people. As they would embark on a new year, God's already laid it out from eons ago. Packages and storehouses and wealth in mines and tremendous experiences already laid out before us before we ever were born. And they are ours because we belong to him. Somebody say praise the Lord. If I will lay claim to those, if I will actualize that potential in my life, it will be because I've learned a lesson to be assertive
in the spirit. Not to wait for something else or someone else to move, but to be assertive. People take classes on being assertive because life is passing them by. And I don't know how much it'll cost you if life passes you by. But I can tell you today, you will forever rue having let the kingdom of God pass you by. And the promise of God pass you by. And the street is full, but only one lady receives her healing. And the city's full of blind men, but only Bartimaeus gets a touch from God. And on in the scripture, I see the response of the individual as he asserts himself and lays claim to the promise of God. My God, as we enter into a new year, I want to be assertive about the promises of God. It's easy to become dull just by the sound of your own marching. It's easy to become a little bit sleepy all along the journey. But God, shake me, wake me up. I want to lay claim to what he has for us. I don't want to get on the other side and find out that I haven't used a major portion of what he promised my family. I don't want to get on the other side and find out he had victory in the palm of his hand and I settled for defeat. I don't want to stand on the other side and learn and understand that I could have shaken a city. I don't want to sing a song of what might have been. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I will assert myself in the spirit. David is a real man. David has real troubles. And he is flawed. He's not a perfect man. In the 41st of the Psalms, we find David and he's reminding himself about the promises of God because he's in trouble. Blessed is he who has regard for the weak. In the King James, it says that helps or gives to the poor. The Lord delivers him in times of trouble. The Lord will protect him and preserve his life. He will bless him in the land and not surrender him to the desire of his foes. The Lord will sustain him on his sick bed and restore him from his bed of illness. Now he's quoting the word of God and he's talking about the promises of God and he's handling the things of God because David is on his sick bed because he sinned against God. And he said, I said, O Lord, have mercy on me and heal me. For I have sinned against you. He doesn't make any bones about it. He has no questions. His theology is pure. He said, I'm sick tonight because I sinned against God. And now he's asking God for forgiveness and deliverance. But because of his failure, he doesn't tuck his head and crawl under his pillow. And he doesn't stand in fear of God. Rather, he lifts up his hand on his sick bed. And he says, God, I've been good to the poor. God, I've walked according to your word. I'm sick right now because of my sin, but I know you made me a promise, and I'm going to lay claim to that promise right now. David knows something about God. David knows that God can't resist faith. God can't resist a heart that'll believe him for his word. Well, praise God. And so David, in the midst of his sin and in the midst of his problems, in his sickness, he begins to cry out to God. My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? He's got enemies. He's got people that hate him. Whenever one comes to see me, he speaks falsely while his heart gathers slander. Then he goes out and spreads it. The man's on his sick bed, and those of his enemies come in and they visit with him. And then they go out and slander him about what he said or didn't say while he was on his sick bed. Poor guy, he's down, and they're kicking him while he's down. All my enemies whisper together against me. They imagine the worst for me, saying a vile disease has beset him, and he'll never get up from the place where he lies. Even my close friend whom I trusted, he who shared my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. This was quoted by Jesus concerning Judas, my dear friend that I shared bread with. He's lifted up his heel against me. These two, Jesus and David, they knew betrayal, and they understood what it was like to have a friend turn their back on you. And so David's kind of going through his litany of trouble here, but he prefaces it with the promise of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. But he says, but you, O Lord, have mercy on me and raise me up that I may repay them so I can take care of business. David said, God, pour out some mercy here. He wasn't willing to lie there and say, well, God's turned his back on me and God's forgotten me and I've got enemies. You know, it is the strangest thing in the world, but when people hit a wall of trouble, and it's serious trouble and it's significant trouble, one of the first things they begin to do is withdraw from spiritual activity. Withdraw from church. Withdraw from ministry. Withdraw from prayer. I don't know what it is. It's the rising up of the flesh and the dominance of the natural mind. And it's a withdrawing from those very things that have the power to help us and to heal us. But it is human nature. But David, in the middle of his trouble, listing the litany of all those things that are wrong, he's sick in his body. He has failed and he has sinned. His enemies are gathered around him. But he's lifting up his voice, God, have mercy on me. I need you, Lord. I know you won't turn your back on me because I've read your book, and I know that if I call on you in faith, you're going to respond to me. Come on, there's a word in the house for you tonight. If you're down on your luck, if you're sick in your body, if your friend has betrayed you, if you've stumbled and you've fallen, you need to lift up your head and begin to call on God. You've got to assert yourself spiritually. There is no help in hiding your face. There is no help in leaving the church. There is no help in turning your back on God. The only help, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from thee, O Lord. Clap your hands unto him and bless your name. Well, praise God. Shake your neighbor a little bit and tell him, assert yourself. Come on, there's wars to be fought. There's victories to be claimed. There's miracles to be possessed. Shake your neighbor a little bit and say, realize what God has done for you. Praise God. That's what prayer is. It's asserting oneself in the Spirit. That's what praise is. It's asserting oneself in the Spirit. That's what faithfulness to the house of God is. It's asserting oneself in the Spirit. Life and circumstances and natural occurrences all war against my coming to the house of God and being successful in the kingdom of God in prayer and in praise and in worship and in ministry and in faithfulness. Everything in this world hates the moving of God in our lives, but I've got to assert myself. I've got to be proactive about this. I can't sit and wait till a good day. I can't sit and wait till the opposition relaxes a little bit. When it pushes on me, I've got to push back. When it rails against me, I've got to rail back. When the enemy comes in like a flood, my God is going to raise up a standard against him. God is proactive. God is assertive. And he's looking for somebody today that won't be like Israel, hiding in the dens in the caves, but will be like David and run into the valley of battle and say, is there not a cause? You can't relax. You can't just ride. You can't just show up and sit. But God's looking for a Holy Ghost apostolic with an edge. God's looking for somebody with a mandate in prayer that would rather die than lose out in the spirit. God's looking for somebody that looks at that clock and says, it's time for prayer. It's time for consecration. It's time for the house of God. This is our hour. This is our day. This is the time that God has given us here on this earth, and I'm going to take advantage of it. Well, praise God. My God, I'm feeling militant about the work of God and the kingdom of God tonight. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I thank God for four that have already received the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. If we can do that every week, we'll double what we had get the Holy Ghost last year. But it won't happen by accident, and it won't happen by chance. It'll happen on purpose. It'll happen because somebody's knocking on a door, because somebody's giving out a card, because somebody's praying a prayer of travail, because the whole body gathers around the cause of God and asserts itself in the Spirit. Praise God. I want to give God praise for 26 on the bus today. Now, you know me, and I'm not condemning. And I'm not condemning you now. I'm just informing you. That was 26 that came all by themselves because they wanted to. Because there was an outreach ministry meeting called here Saturday at 2 o'clock. And one person showed up. Well, actually two. And one of them sent the other one home. Could we have had 50? If we'd have passed out the flyers, would you like to have the bus filled up? Yeah. Oh, careful now. Because it won't happen just because you'd like it. Because we could just sit here and say, I'd like to have $1 million. And I'd like to have a full, thick, wavy head of hair. There's a lot of things I'd like, but they don't just happen. They don't just happen. Somebody's got to take the thing in hand. And lay claim to it. Take responsibility for it. Now, I really don't want 100 of you out there next Saturday out of condemnation. My God, I got things to do. Brother Sutton's condemning us in the middle of this. Not what I'm doing. I'm informing you to say, those kids are hungry. We've missed them for 2 weeks because of the holidays. And they're back out there this morning just because they remember, I want to go to that church. I want to be there. Praise God. If you feel that tug in the Holy Ghost about that, and you're excited about that, you show up next Saturday at 2. And you be a part of that great Latino revival. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I don't want anybody doing anything on this campus. I don't want you involved in any ministry at all on the basis of condemnation. I don't want you to drag yourself in there and do it because, oh, I've got to do it. I don't want you involved if that's your motivation. I want you involved because you wake up in the morning and you say, I love God and I love the kingdom of God and I love the work of God and I want to have my hands on it and I want to be a part of it. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Okay, so you're all right about that. Everybody in this house needs a ministry. Everybody in the house needs to have their hands on some aspect of the kingdom of God, working some sort of ministry. And if you're not involved in a team already, you need to be involved in a team before the week is out. You need to call me and tell me what your burden is. We're going to have a team fair and maybe a taste fair here in a few weeks. And if Sister Pam can get it all together. And we're gonna spotlight our team activity and our ministry activity. And I'd like for everybody in this house, we need 100% employment. everybody in this place. You don't need to be covered up with so many things you can't do for your family. You can't take care of basic responsibilities. That's not the will of God in your life. The will of God is for you to flourish in the kingdom of God, be effective in your relationships, in your home and family, be effective on the job, and be effective in your ministries around the kingdom of God and in the church of the living God. But you ought to have your hands on something. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. David is proactive and assertive. And even though he has a litany of problems in his life, he always lifts up his face to God. For all can see that wise men die, the foolish and the senseless alike perish. I've slapped my page here. Hold on a second. That was good, but it wasn't relevant. He's telling God, I know you're pleased with me because my enemy does not triumph over me. I'm in verse 11. He said, God, I know you're on my side. He's laying on a bed sick. He's got people lying about him and complaining about him, gossiping about him. His best friends turned his back on him. But he's laying there and he says, I know you're with me, God. I know you're on my side. Poor brother Adrian's hung between jobs, and his severance is about to run out, and he's praying and he's believing God. And let me tell you something, he's been faithful all through his teenage years, and he's been faithful to serve God, and I have a lot of respect, and I want to honor him in that tonight. But he's down at the end of his time frame, but he's still saying, I know you're with me, God. You know what he's doing? He's being assertive. He's being proactive. God can't ignore that kind of discussion. That kind of dialogue rings the bells of heaven, and God has to do something. He has to send something for you. He can't ignore you when you're calling on him. Somebody say praise the Lord. He said, in my integrity you uphold me, and you set me in your presence forever. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. Amen. He praises God through everything. He worships God through everything. He remembers and he verbalizes the promises of God through everything. In your trouble, praise him. And in your dilemma, offer up the promises of God. Never let the devil fill your mouth with murmuring because you've lost in your mouth, in your lips, in your tongue, the power of life and death, the rudder on your ship, the power to start a little fire that'll burn your faith up. But if you'll open that mouth in the midst of your trouble and begin to be a voice for the word of God, there is not a devil in hell that can stand against that kind of faith. You've got to be proactive and assertive. Open that mouth and begin to say, right now, if you're sick in your body, you need to begin to say, he's a healer. God's a healer. He took stripes in his body. If you're broke, you need to begin to say, he's a provider. He fills every need. He's got a storehouse in the heavens. My God, he'll provide my needs. Whatever your problem is, your primary problem right now, whatever is foremost in your thinking about something that needs to be fixed in your life, I want you to open your mouth right now, and I want you to begin to proclaim that God is able to fill that need. That God, if you can remember a scripture, quote that scripture verbatim. If you can remember the logic of the word of God, speak that logic. But do it right now. Just do it right now. I know God can heal me. I know that God is a healer. I know God is a provider. I know God is a way maker. I know that God has the answer to my question and the answer to my need. Go ahead and open your mouth. Oh, you're not loud enough about that. You need to be assertive about that. You need to point that finger and get a little bit dramatic about it and say, I know that God is on my side. I know that God can raise me up. I know that God can move my adversary. This is just a workshop. This is just practice. Everybody say, I know that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or think of him. Turn to your neighbor and say, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. My God, do you have a promise? Has the word of God spoken to you? Do you have a problem? You need to be assertive. You don't need to turtle and pull your head inside your shell. You don't need to crawfish and back up from the encounter. You need to be bold. God's looking for a church that has some boldness about it tonight. Praise God. Praise God. The 42nd Psalm. As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants or thirsts for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? It's tough when you've been witnessing. It's tough when you've been proclaiming the power of God. And then your circumstances shift and you find yourself in need or in sickness or in trouble. Those that you've been witnessing to, they're watching you. And they're listening. And they want to know what you have to say. Oh, yeah? Where's your God now? That's a song throughout the Word of God. David's hearing it as he's writing this psalm. And his enemies are saying, where is your God now, David? The God you've been singing all these frilly psalms about. You've been chortling and singing and humming and playing and worshiping and dancing down Main Street. Now where's your God? Now where's your God in the midst of this trouble? Is there anybody in the house tonight that knows that your God is still with you in the midst of the trouble? I believe he's closer to us in a time of trouble than he is when everything's all right. He said, but when they're saying, where is your God? He said, these things I remember as I pour out my soul. He said, I remember how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. He said, when I have a problem, and when my enemy's on my back, and when pain is inflicting itself in my life, I just think about a time when I was down in an altar, or shouting in a place of worship, or in the house of God, among God's people. What is he doing? He is controlling his thought life. He is taking dominance and control over his thought life. He will not sit down and begin to sing with them, yeah, where is my God? Yeah, where is the promise of God? Where is the trouble of, where is the one that heals me? Where is the one that makes the difference and is my deliverer? And he could begin to sing with them, but no, not David. David said, when I hear these things, and as I'm weeping and pouring out my soul, he said, I remember a revival night in the house of God. I just transport myself back. I may not be standing in a place of victory right now, but I've got enough victory in my past. I can transport myself back. I can control my thought life. I will not be subdued by my enemy. I won't join in the old negative song of defeat. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. Praise God. I want everybody that's ever had a victory in your life and you know God touched you or the place where you heard from God, I want you to shout about it a little bit right now. When I think of his goodness and all he's done for me, when I think of his goodness, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. I remember when he washed my sins away. I remember when he filled me with the Holy Ghost. I remember when he healed my baby's body. I remember, my God. When you're a little child and you're not in control of your thought life, a moment, an instant in time of disappointment can loom so large in your thinking that it causes you to forget how precious your mama is, how precious your daddy is. It makes you forget all of the wonderful blessings of God in your life. And the anger of that moment and the disappointment, the hurt of that moment, obscures all the blessings and the goodness of God in your life. And that happens to little children all the time. And they have to work their way through that. When you're a teenager, it happens. But in those years, you should begin to get a handle on that. Because you ought not let a momentary disappointment obscure the hard work and the blessing and the goodness of your parents in your life for all of these years. Who's cared for you? Who cares for you right now? Who's taken care of you? But it's an emotional moment. And so in the emotion of the moment, it has the power to obscure the blessing of God in your life. There is a little slack for teenagers as they are schizophrenic. And we understand. This is a wonderful group of teenagers, isn't it? They really are. I appreciate our kids. But if you are a responsible, mature member of the kingdom of God, it is inexcusable for you to allow the crushing disappointment of a moment to blind you to the goodness of God. And I'm not saying your pain's not real. And I'm not saying that your tragedy is not exquisite. It may be something so devastating that I can't even comprehend it. But I will tell you this. David's talking to you tonight. And he says, in the middle of it all, in my sickness and in my failure and in the midst of my enemies, he said, I've got to tell you something. I remember going down to the house of God. And I remember what he's doing. He's taking dominance over his thought life. And he's saying, I will not ponder these negatives. I'm going to transport myself back to a sweet moment of victory in the kingdom of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. When the trouble rises up, I want to think about, Paul said, if there be any good thing, think on these. This is not an errant passage in the scripture. This is a dominant theme, a character trait of all of those who are mighty in the kingdom of God. They will not. They will assert themselves. They will not be overwhelmed by the moment and by the trouble and by the pain of a certain circumstance. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Come on, turn to your neighbor and tell them, I can transport myself to victory. Come on, tell him, when I think of his goodness and all he's done for me, when I think of his goodness, how he set me free, my God, it makes me want to dance. It makes me want to shout. It makes me want to sing. It drives the devil nuts. It perplexes my enemy. When I ought to be crying, he finds me shouting. When I ought to be depressed, he finds me talking about joy. Praise God. Praise God. If we're going to be a revival church, we must be assertive in the spirit. He said, I remember going to the house of God among the festive throne. And then he begins to talk to himself. Your soul is the seat of your emotions. It's that place of confluence between the natural man and the spirit man. It's where you feel those emotional pulls. But it's not a reliable guide in your life. And David speaks as though he is totally separated from it. He said, why are you downcast inside of me? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? He's feeling those pressure-induced feelings. He's feeling that loss or that grief or those feelings that come when people turn against you. He's feeling all that, and you can't help feeling it. But David separates himself from that. I will not be driven by feelings. I'll be driven by the fact of the Word of God. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is what you do in the kingdom of God. Well, praise God. David talks to his soul and says, why are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. He's talking to himself. He's talking to his soul. And then he concludes by saying, I will yet praise him. Everybody say, I will yet praise him. He's my Savior. Come on. He's my Savior and my God. Look down at your soul and say, why are you cast down? Why are you so troubled? Say, I will yet praise him. Put your hope in God. Well, praise God. It's okay to talk to yourself. It's okay to talk to yourself. It's all right to get in the mirror and say, listen, friend, we're going to go either to heaven or to hell together. We're either going to have victory or defeat together. We're either going to win this thing or we're going to lose it miserably. I want you to put your hope in God. Praise God. So David's talking to himself. He's asserting himself in the spirit. He's taking command over his thought life and now over his emotions. Well, I can't help feeling like I'm feeling. Well, Word of God says differently. You can press. You know, feelings come from doing. You can change the way you feel by changing what you're doing. There's a lot of energy in this house right now. I feel an uplifting in the spirit. I feel something positive and something challenging here. But you know what we could do? We could sit down right now and we could start talking about everything that's wrong and all the problems. And I could say, and what's bothering you, honey? And you could begin to tell me, oh, things are so bad. And before long, nobody would want to be in this house unless it was nearly your turn to talk about your problems, and then you'd want to stay at least for long as that. But nobody wants to be around, and a cloud would descend on us. And before it was over, if it was really rich and good, we'd all be crying. We'd all be breaking out the tissues and honking our noses and, oh, it's so bad. And we leave out of here feeling bad because it's like a stench that gets in you and all over you. And we'd go home with stooped shoulders and a bowed countenance. And we might feel better in the morning, but chances are real good if you had a super experience of depression tonight, you'd wake up with it tomorrow and take it to the job with you again. It's incredible what will happen if you are proactive in that negative direction. Assertive in the negative or passive in the presence of it. Praise God. But David said, straighten up in there. I know you're feeling bad. Put your hope in God. Listen to me. I am yet going to be praising him. I understand all the soul, and your soul may be listening for you all the reasons. But David's saying, I'm not having any of that. I'm not listening to that. I'm going to praise him. He's my Savior. And he's my God. I think God's doing a good job. I said, I think God's doing a good job. I think God's doing a good job with my life. I think God's doing a good job with the world. I like the way he's handling business. Now, for all of you that belong to God tonight, in saying that I think God's doing a good job, and saying that you belong to God, then there's no room to murmur and gripe and complain about your circumstance. Not if you belong to God. And not if God's directing your path and ordering your step. And not if you believe God for his promise. Oh God, for a revelation of this in every heart and every mind and every spirit, that for henceforth and from now on, there would never be another negative in this house, never another murmuring, never another downcast heart. That's a little bit impractical, isn't it? But we can't assert ourselves toward that. Hush in there. Put your hope in God. I'm going to praise him. This is David's refrain. Throughout the continuation of these Psalms, let's all stand together. Throughout the continuation of these Psalms, David gives the litany of the problems, and he goes on about some other things that are troubling him. And he talks about people, and he talks about circumstances, but he rehearses this refrain, and he says, "Why are you downcast, O soul? Why are you troubled within me? Put your hope in God. I will yet be praising him. He's my God. He's my Savior." Praise the Lord, Brother Fred. I'm so glad to see you in the house tonight. Praise God. Fred's not dead. Fred's in the house tonight. All right. Praise God. There are more people in Birmingham that have come through these altars and are not living for God tonight than there are standing in this house or on these pews worshiping God. And we could focus on that a little while, on all the backsliders and all those that have come through. But my mom used to say, "I ain't studying that," which being translated means I'm not thinking about those things. I ain't studying. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I ain't studying those bad things. I got my mind made up. I got my foot on the rock, and my mind's made up. Though I walk through the lonesome valley, though I drink from the bitter cup, when the devil comes around, showing me an easier way, I look him straight in his eye." What's the words of this, Brother Mike? Tell me. You don't know him either, huh? Help me, Sister Bonnie. That's what's wrong with improvisation. Oh, Brother Freeman's singing. My God, come sing. Sing it.
Stand right square on my feet. Yeah. Look him straight in the eye. Yeah. And say, "My foot's on the rock and my mind's made up."
Yeah! Come on, everybody, say, "I've got my foot on the rock and my mind is made up. Though I walk through the lonesome valley, though I drink from the bitter cup, when the devil comes around me, showing me an easier way, I look him straight in his eye." You forgot it too. We're having problems tonight, technical difficulty. "I stand square on my feet." Come on, jump a little bit.
"I look him."
Come on, say, "I'm going to stand up on my feet. I'm going to look him straight in his eye. I'm going to say, my foot's on the rock. And my mind. I got a made up mind." Come on. Shake somebody's hand and tell them, "My mind's made up. Come on, my foot's on the rock. I'm not going to be thinking about all the negatives. I'm going to assert myself in the spirit." Listen to me. If 2005 found you without a prayer life, you need to assert yourself in prayer. Come on down around this altar tonight. If 2005 found you backing up, and your witness and your testimony have been stolen from you, you need to reclaim that lost ground. Praise God. Praise God. As you come down to this altar tonight, I want you to begin to lay claim to the promise of God. Step on up, gentlemen. for every negative you see on your horizon. I want you to begin to open your mouth right now and lay claim to the promise of God.